How's it going, Shoreline? Pretty good. Man, this is awesome. This is easily, I think, looking out, the biggest crowd that we've had here at Shoreline. And I hope that is because this group is becoming or has been for a while what Jermaine described earlier, which is a place where you are known. Not just known, but accepted, just for who you are. And then in that environment where you're safe and you're known and you're accepted and you're loved, hopefully you're being taught about Jesus, a God who knows you and loves you. And in that environment, then you're challenged to grow. And I hope that's why you're here tonight, is because you want to be taught more about God and you want to be challenged to grow. And that's what I'm here to do for you guys tonight. If we've never met, I've met a lot of you guys. My name is David Peniel, and I direct the high school ministry here at Dallas. So if you're going to hang around Shoreline or be a part of a small group or go to the Hideaway Retreat, you're going to see more and more of me, for better or worse, because I'll be around. Because I love helping high school students feel known and accepted, taught about Jesus, and then challenged to grow. And so that's what we're going to do right now. But as we start, I want you to think back 10 years. To the year 2007. How old were you in 2007? What school were you going to? What sports were you playing? Who were your best friends? Et cetera, et cetera. What was going on? 2007. There's murmuring. You're remembering it. You're thinking about it. Now, you've put yourself back in that place. Who were the biggest entertainers in the world in 2007? It's an easy answer. Right. It was just, I mean, just on the cusp of Hannah Montana. It was before Bieber. Here's their picture. I heard it. It was the Jonas Brothers, all right? And right behind the Jonas Brothers were somebody that I know you guys are all a big fan of, the fake Jonas Brothers. Now, this is a screenshot of YouTube with the fake Jonas Brothers having 172,918 views, which is pretty impressive. But I am actually one of the fake Jonas Brothers. And let me just tell you a little bit about the fake Jonas Brothers this morning, not the actual Jonas Brothers. The fake Jonas Brothers were a product of Watermark Student Ministries, the junior high ministry. We decided, me and my friend Jeremy Jaqua and Patrick Bodenhausen, we said, let's dress up like Joe, Nick, and Kevin, and let's go out to Kid Craddock in the morning where the Jonas Brothers are making an appearance, and there are going to be thousands of girls there to try to press up against the glass to see the Jonas Brothers and hopefully touch them and meet them and smell them and all the things that crazy teenage girls want to do for the Jonas Brothers. And then we'll come up dressed up like the Jonas Brothers with wigs on. They'll freak out, scream, run at us, and we'll have a video camera to capture that moment of disappointment when they realize it's just three dudes in wigs. That was our plan. But then the script totally flipped, and we were shocked because rather than disappointment or, you know, frustration with us like we expected to have and we thought would be funny, these fans completely embraced us and welcomed us into their lives. And so we start taking pictures with all these girls. We're in videos, and the video that we were going to make turned into something else. And all of a sudden, Jonas Brothers fans started emailing the fake Jonas Brothers to try to get us to go to their birthday parties and, like, appear at their schools. And so I had to create a fake Jonas Brothers at gmail.com email address. And these are all the girls. You guys rock. Thanks for the kind words. Hello, fake Jonas Brothers. I'm a fan of the real Jonas Brothers. I mean, it's just, like, ridiculous. And so we get inundated with this. And at first, we're trying to keep up with it because we're like, oh, we can tell these kids about Jesus. And then we're like, no, that doesn't work. They just care about Jonas, not Jesus. And so I just quit checking the email. I was like, sorry, little girls. Some of you guys probably emailed us, and you're like, I love you. But I just quit checking it. And I went on a vacation with my family. I was like, I'm not a fake celebrity, I'm a dad. And so we went on a vacation, and I came back from vacation, and I was just like, you know what, I better check and just see, like, how many emails are coming in. And so I pulled it open. I hadn't checked it in a couple weeks, and here's I want to highlight two emails. these emails catch my eye. The bottom one says it's from Art. It's a guy named Art Rapola. And it says, "Hi guys, I'm Art Rapola, Disney's producer on the Jonas Brothers 3D movie currently in." And I'm like, what is that? And then 2 days later, there was one from Marsha Ross, and the subject is, "From Marsha Ross, head of casting at the Walt Disney Company." And I'm like, somebody pranking me. And I was like, I'm not going to respond to these because I'll look stupid. I'm just going to let it go. But then Marsha's actually looked kind of legit. It looked different than Art's, and it had a phone number. So I was like, all right, I'll get these guys. I'm going to call them. And so I call up Marsha, and I'm like, hey, Marsha, it's fake Joe. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you called. And I'm like, who are you really? She's like, I'm Marsha, the head of casting for Walt Disney Company. And I'm like, prove it. Now I'm Googling, like, who is Marsha Ross? There's a picture of a lady. She works for Disney. I'm like, oh no, this is a real person. It's like, got her phone number. And I'm like, what do you want with me, Marsha Ross? And Marsha goes, we love your YouTube video. I'm like, we? She's like, yes, the producers of the Jonas Brothers 3D concert experience. The Jonas Brothers watched it after you were at Kid Craddock. They thought it was hilarious, and they want you in their movie. They made a concert movie like Hannah Montana, like Bieber. The Jonas Brothers had one, and they were like, we want you in it. And I'm like, yes. And so I didn't even talk to the other guys. They're like, yeah, we'll be in that movie. And so they go, well, here's what we need to do. We want to talk to you about a couple ideas that the director has. So we just need to fly you out to LA for a couple days, and we'll talk through it, and we'll go from there. And so we're like, yeah, okay. So I got first class tickets. First time I ever flew first class. Flew to LA. There's a driver waiting for us, like one of those signs with your name on it. It had my name. And we got in this town car. He took us to Walt Disney Studios through the security gates. We go up. The guy's got all these posters. He was a producer in Pirates of the Caribbean and all this stuff. I mean, it's like the big wigs. And then we sit down, and they pull up our video on their computer. We're like, oh, I love this part. This is funny. And we're like, what world are we in right now? And they go, here's what we're thinking. Next week, we fly you out to Madison Square Garden in New York City. The Jonas Brothers are doing 3 concerts in a row. We give you a camera crew and a producer, and you guys just run wild with the fans, and we'll just use the best footage and put it in the movie. And we were like, what? And they're like, yeah, that's what we want you to do. And we're like, first class? And they're like, yes, first class. And we're like, okay. So the next week, me and Jeremy and Bodie are on a first class flight to New York City, where we're staying at the Hudson Hotel with all the cast and crew, and we have a driver again driving us from the hotel to Madison Square Garden. All access passes. We can go anywhere we want in Madison Square Garden. I'm eating dinner with Frankie Jonas, the younger Jonas Brothers' little brother, and the band. Everybody's there. Demi Lovato's there. Taylor Swift is there. It's out of control. We're having a blast. They give us a camera crew. We walk around. They give us no direction. We just goof off. And I'm like, there's no way they're going to put this in the movie. And then in 2009, the fake Jonas Brothers, or the Jonas Brothers 3D concert experience comes out. I go to watch it in the theater, and I'm in the movie. Here's the credits to prove it. Fake Jonas Brothers at the top, Patrick Bodenhausen, Jeremy Jacob, David Pinyol. I'm in the movie. If you get the DVD, and this isn't just, oh, there, you can see me in the background. I have a speaking part in the movie. They paid me, okay? If you look at the DVD menu, we're section 8, all right? You just go to number 8. And now, I don't know if you want to or not, but do you want to watch my minute and 20? Here it is, fake Jonas Brothers 3D concert experience. Scene 8.
Square Garden, baby.
Well, you guys, the Jonas Brothers fans never get to touch the Jonas Brothers. We're the next best thing.
We're the fake Jonas Brothers.
Jonas Brothers.
If you can't meet the real ones, why not meet the fake ones?
Right. They're usually
Jonas
pretty
Brothers pleased. Are living the dream, and we're
dreaming the life.
Hi, you guys.
I'm fake Joe.
Hi. I am fake Nick.
Hi,
nice
fake
to
Nick.
See you. All right.
I'm fake Kevin.
So awesome in the Shanghai, no, not Shanghai, what's it called with the Jackie
Russia,
Chan?
Jackie Chan.
Rush Hour, man. That was tight.
That wasn't me.
Kelly Clarkson
yes.
Doesn't even have fake Kelly Clarkson. Yeah. Hold on. It's our fake dad.
Yeah.
Woo! Right. Kevin's here. Spain, huh? Yes. Are the Jonas Brothers popular in Spain?
A little. And
could you say, I love the Jonas Brothers more than my wife in Spanish?
Yeah. I love. Mi Valverde, is it?
And there it is, the fake Jonas Brothers moment in time. So here's, I tell you that story for a reason. Because working with Disney and for Disney was a first-class experience. And it was incredible. And I'm going to tell stories about 2007 and 2008 and when the movie came out in 2009. I'm going to tell those stories for the rest of my life. But that experience that I had that was so much fun and just unreal and surreal, I almost missed it. I was this close to just never checking that email again, and I happened to just check it after I hadn't checked it for 2 weeks. And then even checking the email, I was just browsing through, and somehow it caught my eye, and it caught my attention. But I almost missed it. And here's what I want to ask you tonight, Shoreline. At the beginning of the 2017-2008 school year, and I don't know what year you are, but you're either starting your freshman year or your sophomore year or your junior year or senior year, so one of those. Right where you're at right now, listen, this is the question I have for you tonight. What if God is trying to get your attention? Marsha was trying to get my attention. Art was trying to get my attention. They were trying to offer me an incredible opportunity. And for a while, I just wasn't paying attention at all. But what if God is trying to get your attention right now? And what if that's the reason why you're here tonight? And what if more than that, God's trying to get your attention because he's trying to invite you to something more than what you're experiencing right now? What if God has an adventure in store for your life? What if 2017, 2018, what if this is the year that you're going to be telling stories about for the rest of your life? Because everybody has those years. Every adult leader in this room, we interview before we just say, yeah, go teach these kids the Bible. And we get to know them and we hear their story. Every single one of them has a year like this. They have a year when they realize God is trying to get my attention and he's got it now. And it's the year I tell stories about now when I tell my life story. Katie Callahan, she's gonna talk about 2017 for the rest of her life because it's the year she realized that God is trying to get her attention. So what about you? What if God's trying to get your attention right now? That year for me was 1989, when God finally got my attention at Kanakuk and Barn 4 at K Country, with Chuck Price and Jay Cleveland as my counselors, as they showed me that there was a God who loved me. Even though I was a sinner and I deserved punishment for my sin and my eternal destiny should be hell, separation from God, but that he had made a way through his son, Jesus Christ. And by believing in Jesus and receiving that gift, I could have eternal life. And because God gave his life for me, I should give my life to him. And it was at that point, way back when in 1989, that's the year I talk about, that everything changed for me. What about you? So tonight I want to share with you a story from the Bible. If you have your Bibles, open it up to the book of Judges. It's sort of towards the beginning. It's way back in the Old Testament. But this is a story, a few verses really that had an impact on me this summer. And there were three reminders from this passage in Judges chapter 6. Judges 6. There were three reminders that I really needed to hear this summer. And they've been on my heart so much that I want to share them with you tonight as you start a new school year. So I believe we're going to see ourselves in this story. It's the story of a man named Gideon. And we're going to see ourselves in Gideon's story and hopefully be inspired to have the best year of our lives. So here we go, Judges chapter 6. I want to start in verse 5 and 6 just to give you some background, and then we're really going to focus on verses 11 and 12. But Judges 5 and 6 says this: the enemy hordes were as thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels too numerous to count, and they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. So this is the background of the story. The nation of Israel, which were God's chosen people, they were being oppressed by a foreign nation called the Midianites. And the armies came in droves so thick they couldn't even count them. There's estimates that there was over 100,000 Midianites that came in on just 30,000 or so Israelites. And so they come in, they overpower them, and it says Israel was reduced to starvation. And it says in another verse here that this was happening for about 7 years. So the nation of Israel is in trouble. They're surrounded by enemies. Things aren't going well for them. And this is where I came across the two verses that I needed to hear this summer and that I hope encourage you tonight. Verse 11 and 12 says this. This is where we learn about Gideon. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. So he's just sitting there minding his own business. You don't thresh wheat in a wine press. You thresh wheat outside, out on a hill, but he's down in a cave, basically, a wine press, because he's hiding from this enemy that has taken everything from them. And if they catch him threshing wheat, trying to make food to feed his family, they're going to take it from him and probably kill him. And so he's hiding, and he's just surviving. But then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And these are just two like really simple verses. I mean, they're just kind of setting up a story, right? There's a guy named Gideon, son of Joash. He's threshing wheat. He's down in a wine press. And then God comes and addresses him. What is there to learn from this? Here's the three things I learned. The first thing is this, David, God sees you. God sees you. And I believe the same is true for each and every one of you here tonight. You see, God saw Gideon's situation. He knew where Gideon was and what Gideon was doing. God knew all about the Midianites. He knew what Gideon was up against. Does God also see you? Does God also see me? I mean, it stands to reason that if God could see Gideon, he could see you. Psalm 139, which Hayden read earlier before we sang Faithful, the first three verses say, "Oh Lord, you have examined my heart. And you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do." I believe God sees you. I believe God sees me. And here's what that means, guys. God sees the stress that you're under right now. He sees the pressures that you're facing. He sees your disappointments, your unresolved conflicts, the burdens of academics and extracurricular activities. He sees your worry and concern and anxiety over homecoming. He sees your temptations. He sees your sin, maybe even your addictions. He sees all your secrets. He sees your shame and your guilt. He sees the abuse that you've experienced. He sees your loneliness, rejection, self-hatred, your insecurity, your sadness, your grief. He sees your depression and self-harm and suicidal thoughts. Whatever the Midianites are in your life, God sees it. So a good question for you to ask yourself right now is, what are my Midianites? What are the enemies that are surrounding me? And do I believe that God sees them? Because I think Gideon shows us that the God of the Bible is not some far away, distant God. Like he's up there and we're down here, God is near and he's not blind. He sees and he knows what's going on. And guys, I think so often you hear this and you're like, yeah, God is like Santa Claus. He sees you when you're sleeping. He sees you when you wake. Like he sees everything, whatever. But this is amazing if this is true. Like this is incredible if this is true. I mean, think about how I felt when these big shots at Walt Disney, I'm sitting in their office and they're telling me, "I love this part of your video when you do this." And I'm like, "You've seen my video?" And they're telling me, "Nick's favorite part is this." And I'm like, "Wait, you see me? Like you're up here making movies, doing all stuff. Nick Jonas, Joe Jonas, Kevin, the most famous guys in the world at the time. They see me?" And like, that's like a cool, amazing feeling. You guys try to get, maybe you used to, I don't know if you still do, but people all the time are trying to get on social media to get noticed by people that they admire, by famous people. They're trying to get their comment liked or retweeted, and they're just trying to get noticed. And think about this. God notices you. this story tells us that God notices you. I mean, it was mind-blowing for us to think that the Jonas Brothers saw us. How much more incredible is it that God sees us? This is the same God who created the whole earth, the same God who parted the Red Sea, the same God who killed Goliath and was with David. He sent all the prophets, the same God who was born on Christmas Day, who died on Good Friday, who rose on Easter. That God, like that famous guy who wrote the Bible, he sees you. He's watching. He sees us. And so the next question we have to think about, if that's true, is what does God see when he sees us? And that's the second thing that I feel like God spoke to me from this was God sees you, David, and God knows you. Because he sees you, he knows you. So let's go back to the passage and look at it again. So when Gideon is there, he's threshing grain, he's hiding, and God appears to him and says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." God names Gideon, and he calls him mighty hero. And look at Gideon's response in verse 15. He says, "But Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family." See, Gideon's out there hiding. He's not sharpening his sword. He's threshing wheat. He's not out there taunting the enemy, saying, "Bring it on, let's fight. I'm gonna take you down." That's not what Gideon's doing at all. He's threshing wheat. And Gideon says, "I'm the weakest and the least." And God says, "No, you're a mighty hero." And Gideon wonders, "Are you sure you've got the right guy?" And in this story, it's evident that God just says, "Yes, I created you for a purpose and I know what I'm doing." You see, God knew that he had created Gideon for something more. And I believe the same is true for us. Again, if it's true for Gideon, why can't it be true for us? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible tells us that we are God's masterpiece, that God has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. Here's what I believe this story is telling me and telling you is that God knows that the real you who he created you to be, is something so much more than what we usually think about ourselves. Gideon thought he was weak and the least, and he was hiding, he was acting like it. And God said, "No, no, no, you're a mighty hero. I have created you for so much more." That means you're created for more than what you think about yourself, more than the labels that you've allowed other people to put on you with the way they've treated you or the names that they've called you. God sees more and knows more about you than the masks that you put on as you walk down the halls of your school every day, the image that you try to project. God knows the real you, and he doesn't look at you and go, "You are weak, you are least." He goes, "No, you're my child. I created you to be a mighty hero for an incredible purpose." Over and over again, when we were meeting with those producers and the director, we asked those guys, "Are you sure? You want to put us in the movie?" Even once the movie, I'm like, why did you put that in there? That was dumb. That wasn't even that good. And they just said, "We're sure. We think you're the guys that we want in this movie. We need you in this movie. We want you." And I was just like, how is this possible that you're going to make this work? Well, here's the thing. We had the magic of Disney behind us. We had their producer, we had their cameraman, we had their microphones, and we had their editors that made something out of nothing. And it's not the best thing in the world, but we made it into a movie. And that brings me to the third and final point, the reminder that I needed. I needed a reminder that God saw me with all the enemies I was facing this summer, the things I was struggling with and going through. I needed a reminder that God knew me, that he had a great plan for my life. And lastly, I needed this reminder that God was with you, David. God is with you. That's the last thing he said to Gideon in verse 12. He said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." In verse 16, he said, the Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." And guys, we don't have time to go through chapter 7 and 8, but you should go read them tonight because that's exactly what God did. You see, there's hundreds of thousands up against them. And Gideon gathered together an army of 32,000. And God said, "It's too many." And He shrinks Gideon's army down to 300 men. And then Gideon goes out and leads 300 men. And they said, for the Lord and for Gideon. And they defeated the entire Midianite army and rescued their people. And so God called Gideon a mighty hero because God knew God was with him. And God would make him a mighty hero. God knows what God is capable of. So this is not about what Gideon was capable of on his own strength. It was about who God created him to be and God's power to enable him to be that. He can do anything with a person who will trust him. And so if God was with Gideon and God was empowering Gideon, he is with us, right? Doesn't that make sense? You see, we've got to ask the question, is God with me? Is God for me? Is God really for me? And how do we know that? Because he came to Gideon and he told him. It was irrefutable. And that's what I want to close with tonight. Because God has also come to us. He's come to you and he's come to me. And it's not in the form of the angel of the Lord appearing in our wine press. It is in the form of Jesus Christ. Born on Christmas Day, God came to us. He stepped into human history. He put on our skin. He lived here. He entered our story. And he came to us. You see, Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, is God's way of saying, guys, I see you, I know you, and I am with you. Romans 8, 31, 32 says, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? And so Gideon in this story, he had two options before him. When the angel of Lord comes to him and says, mighty warrior, the Lord is with you. I'm going to use you to deliver your people from these enemies. Gideon had two options. One, stay in the cave and keep threshing wheat just like what everyone else was doing. Keep just trying to survive. Or two, respond to God's call with faith and believe that God sees me, God knows me, and I'm going to trust him that he will be with me and enable me to do all that he's calling me to do. And guys, I think we have the same choice tonight. Right now, 2017, 2018, you can choose to stay in the cave. Enemies all around you. The same things. God still sees them. You still see them. You know they're there. Or you can hear God whisper to you, mighty warrior, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. And you can have the courage to do what Katie Callahan did. To step out of that cave, face down those enemies with God at your side and take ground and live a story like you've never lived before. What if God is trying to get your attention tonight? I believe he's inviting you to something more. What if 2017, 2018 is the year that you tell stories about for the rest of your life? I have one more thing I want to show you about the Jonas Brothers. These are the checks that Disney still sends me every 3 months. It's called residuals. They paid me $5,000 to be in the movie. After the movie came out, yeah, the checks got smaller. After the movie came out in the theaters, I got $2,000 because of how much it made. I get like a tiny fraction of it because I'm part of the Screen Actors Guild. By the way, you can get out your phones. You can find me on IMDb. It has my name, no picture because you have to pay for that, and I'm not going to do that. It does have my name, and it calls me an actor. But because I'm in the Screen Actors Guild, I'm entitled to residuals. And so anytime the Jonas Brothers 3D concert experience makes money, I make money. And so, you know, I've got a check for $2.24 that I got this June. Last November, I got $51.96, not bad. In February this year, I got $3.36. I mean, the checks are just ridiculous. And so they come in every few months. Now, here's why I tell you that. Is it pays. It paid and continues to pay to be a fake Jonas Brother. It does. But the checks, they started off big, and then they kind of just taper off and get smaller and smaller. And here's the last image I want to leave you guys with. With God, it's exactly the opposite. With God, it's exactly the opposite. The payment starts big, and then following God just gets better and better and better. And the biggest reward, the big payoff, is at the end, when we die. And then we're finally free from sin, we're free from all fear, and we're eternally with God. There's no crying, and we are in his presence. And our hope is no longer hope, it's reality. And the reward is at the end. And from when you start following God in faith, it just gets better and better and better up until that point. It's the opposite. See, Disney's rewards are great, but they just kind of taper off and get smaller and smaller. I can tell you, as somebody that's been following God since 1989, that the rewards just keep getting better and better, and I still have so much more to look forward to. I live my life with a great hope, knowing that my reward is secure and it's coming for me at the end, and it's getting better and better. So that's the last question I want to ask you is this. Are you sure that you have a reward waiting for you at the end? Like, if you were to die tonight, how sure are you? Just put it on a scale of 1 to 10, that you would receive a reward from God. Jesus is the key to answering this question. Remember, Jesus is God's way of saying, hey, I see you and I'm for you. I created you. I know you better than you know yourself. You think that you're hopeless, but you have hope because of me, and I'm gonna be with you. And if God is with you, if Jesus is with you, then he pays the penalty for your sin and he gives you his righteousness. And you can be secure in your reward with God for all eternity. Now, if you wanna know more about this God of Gideon, you wanna know more about Jesus, you wanna know more about what you can do to have the best 2017-18, have a year that you tell stories about for the rest of your life, we wanna talk to you. When I say we, anybody wearing one of those Shoreline shirts, any adult that's in here, when we go out to the after party, talk to them. Come down here. I'm gonna be sitting down here afterwards and talk until the last person wants to talk. But if you feel like God's trying to get your attention tonight, listen to me. This is the last thing I'm gonna say. If you feel like God is trying to get your attention tonight, don't shake it. Don't go on and socialize. Don't get in your car. Don't go home and go to bed. You stay awake until you hear God call your name, because he's calling you. He created you. He made you. Sin has dragged you away from him. You've run away from him, but God's coming after you. He's calling you back, and he wants to invite you into something wonderful. He sees you right where you are. He knows you. He knows who he created you to be, and he is with you. And there's a reward for all who walk with him. So don't shake it. Talk to someone. Sit there and pray. Come talk to me. We'd love to help you have the best year of your life so that you can have the best eternity of forever. All right, let me pray and we'll get out of here. Dear God, I thank you so much for your servant Gideon and the way he was just a normal guy just like me and just like so many of us. I thank you that you allowed him to face enemies and you allowed him just to be oppressed in a way that so many of us are surrounded by enemies and oppression, and that you entered into his story. And you called him by name. You even gave him a new name that he didn't have for himself. And you showed him that his ability to embrace that new identity came from your presence. I thank you that we know we have your presence because of Jesus Christ. And I pray for anyone in this room that doesn't know that, that they would come to know him tonight, and that this would be the year that they begin walking closely with you like never before. I pray for people that have known you but wandered away. I pray that you would remind them, as you reminded me this summer, that you see them, that you know them, you got a plan for their life, and that you are with them and you will be with them as they follow you and trust you in faith. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.